What's up, Wichita, Kansas, and welcome back to the Surgecast, the official podcast of the Wichita Wind Surge. I am your host. My name is Scotty Gurman, and alongside me, as usual, is none other than the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge, Mr. Tim Grubbs.
Good to be here.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's good. We've been off. We actually did a podcast that'll be probably released at some other later point.
Yeah, sometime.
A missing podcast, yeah. But you know, it's good to be back here, yeah. And you know, I'm excited to talk baseball and talk to everyone about what's going on here at Riverfront.
Absolutely. And the other thing is if this is your very first time listening to this podcast, we are diehard baseball fans, and so you're going to get baseball from all over the place, not necessarily just here in Wichita, but right. You know, we like to talk about the current events that are going on in the Wichita Wind Surge and any other current events that are going on as well. And we got a lot going on right now.
Absolutely.
We are actually smack dab in the middle of our season here in Wichita.
Yeah, we're coming up. By the time this airs, Sunday, mm-hmm. The day before the All-Star break for the Major League, to put everything in perspective is when you're listening, is the halfway point. So it's a 120-game season, less than normal.
Yeah.
We normally play 140. So the 60 game point is the halfway point.
Right.
And it's exciting that we're at this point and we're in playoff contention.
Yeah.
We've been in first place for about 75% of this first half. We stand today at this moment a game back, but right. That by the time this airs, that could change depending on what happens.
There's a game today.
There's a game today and there's a game tomorrow. So the quickest this would be turned around would probably be two games from now. So absolutely, you know, we've got a chance. The last time we were on here, we didn't know if there would be playoffs.
Right.
There is playoffs.
We know that for sure now.
We know that for sure. Now, there is one little complicated thing with the playoffs. It's not complicated, but most people think the team that wins the divisions, that would be the two teams that go to the playoffs.
Okay.
If the season ended today, that would be the case.
Oh.
So it does work out that way. But the way they're doing things is they are taking the two best records in the entire league.
Oh.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be the North versus the South.
Oh.
So recently, Frisco won 12 out of 13. Prior to that win streak by Frisco, it was Wichita and Tulsa with the two best records in this league.
Wow.
So I'm just throwing that out there that there's still 62 games to play.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be a little jumbling and everything. So it could be a different scenario. When you look at the standings, always look at win-loss.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily look at the North and the South. The reason why the North and the South divisions still stay on the stat sheet, everything like that, is that's basically who you're playing.
Right.
We play everybody in our division a bunch.
Right.
Everybody in the South plays their division a bunch, and we only have two crossover series.
Yeah.
We've already played three of the four crossovers for Wichita. Amarillo's been here. We've been there.
The Sod Poodles.
To play the Soddies or the Sod Poodles.
Yep.
We've been to Midland. Midland, which is an Oakland A's affiliate, will come here in August. So they're the only teams we play from that other division.
Gosh, that's so crazy. And now, by the time that this airs, we will be going into, we'll be in the middle of a two-week home stretch, right? Coming off against the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Yeah. And now we're going to be playing, I'm assuming this is going to become our rival for years to come, which is the Tulsa Drillers.
Yeah, which actually that has a name. And we even have a separate championship trophy.
Uh-oh.
And I wish we would have thought about that. We could have probably put it on the set. It's the Propeller Series. Since both Tulsa and Wichita are both big in aviation, they went with Propeller Series presented by Coors Light, and it's a big propeller trophy.
That's awesome.
And we play each other 30 times. We've already played each other 12 times this year.
Wow.
So they haven't even been here yet. We've already been there twice. So whoever wins the most out of the 30 gets to keep the propeller trophy for the offseason. Obviously, 30 is an even number.
That's what I was just getting ready to say.
It could be 15-15, and it's pretty close right now to being that. If that's the case, the winner of game 30 gets to keep the trophy.
All right.
So even if it is 15-15, if you win the final one, you get the trophy for that season.
That's awesome. But yeah, definitely plan on coming out as much as you can during that series. That series starts July the 13th.
Mm-hmm. And they're a Dodgers affiliate, so there's a lot of names.
Absolutely.
And some players of interest, and it's always a lot of fun.
Actually, kind of speaking along those lines, we've already had a couple of players being called up as well. So you're talking about like a Los Angeles Dodgers affiliates or players moving around. There's actually been a lot more movement that I've noticed since watching minor league baseball for me in my hometown in Wichita.
There's been about the same amount of movement as there is normally in a minor league season. I think on this show earlier this year, I said there would be less movement.
Yeah.
Because I just assumed with COVID, they weren't going to want to shuffle guys around. Completely wrong.
Wrong.
It has been the normal movement.
Yeah.
We average about a transaction every other day.
Wow.
So is what we're doing. There's guys that's getting hurt.
Incredible.
There's players performing well. There's players that may need to go to the other level just to help themselves and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of times it's relief pitchers or a lot of times it's not necessarily the hometown nine, you know, that you might refer to. It's not always the starting lineup. Like for example, everybody kept asking me and I kept getting mad at him, not really, but I was like, when's Miranda getting called up? I was like, no, we don't want Miranda to get called up. I knew it was a matter of time.
Absolutely.
When Jose Miranda was doing so well,
you
just knew that whenever he had the opportunity at AAA, and they don't want to call a guy up like that to become the fourth infielder, fifth infielder for AAA. They want him to go up and play every day.
Right.
So obviously when Gilberto Celestino got called up, there was a need for an outfielder at AAA. And then there was a need for an outfielder in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still our lone guy that has ever been to the big leagues. And he's still there
roaming
the outfield for the Minnesota Twins. So it's pretty cool to see those two guys go up. Obviously, Josh Winder, who will pitch at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game Futures Game, which is cool, representing the Twins.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we've gotten some good big guys. And I tell you, Miranda and Winder have made a huge impact already at the AAA level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like they haven't slowed down since they left.
Right.
So, I was going to ask you a really good question, and now you threw me off of it, so I lost it.
But. Well, we've also promoted some other guys. Mark Contreras, who was in our lineup, has been hammering the ball hard, and that would be the other one. And there's been a few pitchers here and there. So we have shuffled the decks a little bit.
Yeah.
Spencer Steer was Cedar Rapids' best prospect. I always say, you know, when you lose your best prospect, it's kind of a little like, oh, going to the ballpark today. We don't have our best guy.
Yeah.
But we lost our best guy to AAA, I thought. Cedar Rapids lost their best guy to us the same day. So it's like, you know, it's not always bad. And he got off to a great start, hit four homers in his first week in a wind surge uniform. So you know, you just hope that they can continue, and that's development. And we're going to see changes constantly.
Yeah.
They want to let a guy develop here and then move him up to the next level.
It came back to me. Okay, so me and my family, we've came to the games several times throughout the season. We've seen a lot of, you know, games where, you know, we do really well and games we do really poorly. Is there, especially in minor league baseball, are you kind of I mean, you want your team to win, but don't you just want a lot of your players you're developing to just do so well? Because it becomes a statistical game at that point. You want these guys to rise up the ranks and become, you know, major league all-stars, but you also kind of are hit with this, well, I also want our team to win here in AA.
Yeah, there's a development aspect to it. You don't really notice it when you're at the game all that much. But, you know, for example, you know, there's our pitching coach and our manager have a list of what relief pitchers get used in tonight's game. And that's a list before the game.
Yeah.
They already know. They know who's been rested for 2 days or 3 days, who's hot, you know, who's going to be the guy today. They may not be the number one guy that you might want, where the major leagues throw it all out.
Yeah.
You know, Giovanni Moran has been our best relief pitcher. Ryan Mason has pitched very well out of the bullpen for us. Alex Phillips has pitched very well for us. If those guys, if this was a major league team and Ramon was managing for his career or for wins or losses, you'd see those guys pitch on back-to-back nights.
Right.
You see those guys maybe pitch back-to-back-to-back nights.
Absolutely.
I mean, you would see more tinkering. But the way it is here, you know, it's not necessarily the case.
And
you got a hot guy,
your
starter goes five or six, and you're going to go to the next guy. The guy that hasn't pitched in 3 days, because you know he needs work.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get his inning or two or, you know, and go from there. So it is about winning, but it is also about developing. And
right.
You don't want to get anybody hurt. You want to make sure they all got proper, especially with the pitching staff.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the starting lineup is typically the same lineup every night. Couple of changes here and there. But for the most part, you see, you know, a resemblance of the same lineup on a nightly basis.
Well, and the other thing I've noticed is that Major League Baseball is starting to do that very much the exact same. I mean, you had the other night, which was absolutely hilarious. He's one of my favorite players to see off the field or like when he gets interviewed is Brett Phillips ended up coming in for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
And he's a position player. He has no business pitching, but the Rays go into the ninth and they're down by, you know, 8-9 runs. It's very unlikely that, you know, but they don't want to throw out a stud pitcher
right.
and possibly injure him when it's the game that's already gone.
And we did that the other night.
Yeah.
We had a position player pitch, mm-hmm. you know, a veteran guy. He's one of our catchers.
Right.
And they threw him out there, and he gave up a hit, and then he got Nick Prado out.
There
you know,
go.
And Roy Morales, I asked him. He had never pitched in a game before at this level or in minor league baseball. He pitched in winter ball. Of course, they all pitched when they were younger.
Exactly, yeah.
But it was fun. You know, and Brett Phillips, I've had a chance to call a lot of his games.
Yeah.
Guy's been kind of a career minor leaguer, and I'm glad to see that he's kind of busted through.
Yeah.
He's been in multiple organizations. He's
yeah.
been with Astros, Royals, Rays, Rockies. I might even be missing one.
I think Brewers, too.
Brewers, yeah. too. Yeah, and I've seen him with Brewers.
Because that was actually whenever I noticed him, because if you know who Brett Phillips is and you've ever heard him laugh... Have you ever heard Brett Phillips?
I have. And he's a character.
It's like, hilarious.
I remember doing my prep work in Colorado Springs, getting ready for a AAA game a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Brett Phillips came up and was in the booth next to me working on the walk-up music.
Oh, God.
And some of the walk-up music for his fellow teammates
yeah.
for the Sky Sox, he was giving them songs that they might not necessarily want. So he'd be playing it, and then they would move the cursor or whatever to
oh,
where
yeah.
it would start. And he'd be in there just half laughing and having a good time.
That's so good.
And I was happy for him last winter World Series. Of course, he had a huge hit.
Yeah.
And I love when I see that sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Especially whenever you saw him whenever they were young and they get that
yeah.
huge opportunity and they actually succeed in it. I mean, you kind of have this like level of pride for those guys. You know, it's kind of a cool feeling.
Oh, very cool feeling.
But anyways, I wanted to get on to a couple of things in minor league baseball that we don't. A lot of people don't really know about because this is the first time, this is the very first season in minor league baseball, affiliated minor league baseball mm-hmm. for Wichita in a long time.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we've maybe briefly touched on before, but didn't really go into very much is that they're like, for instance, today I noticed that the Tulsa Drillers, the team that we're going to be playing next week, released an alternate identity.
Yeah.
And they're called the Tulsa Noodlers. So what is this alternative identity?
First off, do you know what a noodler is?
I do indeed know what a noodler is.
I did not.
You'd never heard of a noodler?
Missed it. Never
what?
Know. But it's when you reach in and
oh, yeah.
you fish for catfish
with your hand.
Yeah. Which I think is pretty cool.
You ain't seeing me do that.
I'm not
that
doing that.
No.
I'm not reaching into any lake like that.
Yeah. It could be a catfish or it could be a huge snapping turtle. I'm not into
yeah.
that kind
no,
of thing.
No, I don't so. Want to do that. But it's a yeah. really cool logo.
It is. It looks good.
They got neon green pants.
Mm-hmm.
They got a neon green cap. A lot of teams do it.
Yeah.
It started maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, maybe.
So pretty
maybe
recent.
I'm wrong about the timeline.
Uh-huh.
Fresno was probably the most popular one. The Fresno Grizzlies
uh-huh.
decided to do a taco truck throwdown. They put a couple taco trucks in the ballpark, and they wore taco jerseys one night.
That's awesome.
And it was successful, and they did it again the following year. And now they're the tacos every Tuesday that they're home.
That's an awesome tradition.
So they do it all the time. Some other teams do it too, and where they do Omaha, for example,
mm-hmm.
when they switched from the Omaha Royals to the Omaha Storm Chasers, they did what we did. They had about 7 or 8 names that were the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
Now they wear those uniform names.
That's cool.
Every other year or so, every year they will be like, "What would have night?" You
That's
know,
neat.
And they've been the Omaha Steaks.
Naturally.
They've been a bunch of different names.
And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
I think
no,
that's
I
a
mean,
cool
it's
thing.
Especially because it might have been a name that's like, all right, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like
yeah.
you wouldn't want it to be your real name.
Right.
Altoona, Pennsylvania is the curve because there's a real big train curve in that part of town. They're
oh.
the AA for the Pirates. They were the Altoona Fish once.
Oh.
You would not have wanted to be that name.
No.
all the time, but you know, it was cool, you know, for tuna fish and, you know, and it kind of worked and a lot of teams do it. It's fun. I think we're in Tulsa when they're the noodlers.
Oh man.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. So yeah, there's a lot of teams that do it and I'm sure it's probably coming to a ballpark near you
probably
in future years. So.
Probably.
But I kind of like it. I think it's cool, you know, to do it and trying to go with it. And,
sure.
You know, I think the players like it.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, our fans have already seen our ball club wear Windsurge camouflage jerseys.
Yes.
And which were auctioned off. We've got a cancer research type jersey going out where all the proceeds go, you know, for cancer research. And it's a lot of different colors.
That's awesome.
And they'll be doing other types of stuff like that where we go out of the box.
Yeah.
And you're not just wearing the red and blue that you're used to seeing.
Yeah. And I think it's probably going to come. I mean, obviously with this being our first season, right. We haven't developed a lot of those traditions quite yet. You know, the fun things that we can do. And especially thinking at the beginning of the season, we may not have even had a full season. We didn't know what was going to happen. So I think that probably, especially with the city of Wichita and how
And I think you've already seen, if you walk into the store, and I don't know for sure if we're doing this, but there is a black and gold or black and yellow.
Black and yellow, yeah.
Because I'm,
it's okay.
You know, so it is black and yellow. Windsurge shirt. I mean, I assume at some point we would probably dress in black and yellow.
Yeah, for Shocker Night.
And Shocker Night.
Yeah.
And pay tribute to, you know, the hometown university.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's those types of things that you do, you know that kind of just get everybody excited.
Yeah.
And it's just another variation of your brand.
No, absolutely. There's also, I mean, obviously that's a really cool thing, but I also wanted to get, and this is a baseball podcast. You and I are baseball fans. We don't always have to talk about minor league baseball. There's a lot of new things that are going on right now in the entire sport from major league all the way down to minor league about foreign substances with pitchers.
Right.
What is your take on this, man?
Well, you know, I mean, I knew that they allowed it to some degree because of the fact that they want these pitch. They don't want these hitters, you don't want a Shohei Ohtani getting hurt.
Oh, no.
When he's batting, or Bryce Harper getting hurt, Chris Bryant, whatever. And you want these pitchers to have control on where it's going. I think some pitchers took it and ran a little bit too far with it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in baseball a while. I was aware that guys used sunblock when you're indoors.
Yeah.
Or when it's completely overcast and there's no chance. Or a night game.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting sunblock on and you're because it's sunny out there. You don't want to get a sunburn on a day like today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was aware of what guys were doing. Bullfrog, which is like an insect repellent, has some little sticky.
You actually know this stuff.
Oh,
exactly.
I know the stuff.
What they were using.
Then there's this spider tack stuff, which is even on another level.
Really?
Where it's really sticky. That's the type of stuff that really helps the pitcher. And obviously Major League Baseball batting averages are at an all-time low. And I think
they want
more offense.
Yeah.
And I don't think they wanted to wait till the end of the season. These rules have always been on the books.
Yeah.
They just haven't been enforced. When you come out to Riverfront, pay attention. You'll see as a pitcher is leaving the field, the umpire will just casually go over to him, grab his glove, kind of look into it, make sure that it's good to go.
Nuts.
And spin rates, which obviously, generate how much movement pitches have and all that sort of stuff, have been all the way up.
Yeah.
And they were kind of knowing that that's kind of unnatural.
Yeah.
Since they threatened to enforce it, the spin rates have gone down a lot. There are some pitchers that are all of a sudden really struggling.
Yeah.
Maybe two big name pitchers that wear pinstripes.
Named Garrett Cole as
I
one
wasn't
of them.
Gonna say their name, but
I'll do it.
Mariano Rivera. Not Mariano.
I can't remember the other.
Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman. Sorry.
Both of them, I went with him because he's the all-time closer.
Yeah.
But and I feel bad because he's Hall of Famer. He's
yeah.
Nice. But, those two, their spin rates and their success have gone down dramatically.
Yeah.
Since they've been starting to enforce it.
Yeah.
So you wonder. You don't know that for sure.
You don't. But, I mean, I think a lot of this came not only from seeing the numbers and everything like that. But what I've been told just in my little nook and cranny of where I get social media is there's been a whole bunch of actual fans that are watching it on TV and pointing it
out. So that's, yes. Yeah, it's been on social media the last couple of years where you can see guys doing it.
Exactly.
You know, high-def cameras are on a next level, and they're zooming in on guys, and all of a sudden you see some pine tar on the glove.
Yep.
Or you see a guy constantly take his cap off and go to the hair gel or go to stuff.
Yeah.
There's guys that have extra pockets sewn into their pants where they can put stuff.
That's nuts.
I did know... this wouldn't be cheating, but I knew players when we left, when I was with the New Orleans team, we would go to places with elevation like Colorado Springs or Albuquerque. Guys would dump water on their pants right before they would go out to pitch.
Oh.
You know, it's just water.
Right.
Just because the air is so dry. I mean, you know it with that your makes skin sense. And you notice it, you know, how dry everything is and the baseballs dry up a little bit.
Sure.
That they would just pour a little bit of water on their pants so that they would just grab the... Get a little, because you're not allowed to go to your mouth.
Your mouth, yeah.
So they would go to their pants and just grab a little bit of water. Now, that wasn't cheating, but that was just gamesmanship. That was just saying, hey, you know, I'm used to 63% humidity. It's 7% in Colorado.
There's none here.
There's none. I need a little something on my fingers to get a good grip. And they allow that stuff. I've known a lot of different things of what guys do, and I don't even think I'm really scratching the surface because it's beyond what I know.
Well, and the other thing, I'm not going to say the pitcher's name, but there was a pitcher that pointed out in a YouTube video, and he used legal substances. He used water, sweat, and the rosin bag.
And he could stick to his hand. Right.
So that's another thing where it's like...
And, see, that works with certain guys, and it doesn't work. Just like you may sweat more than me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everybody's built a little bit different, so sometimes... Right. Some of those guys who really sweat, they've got a little bit of an advantage because they're going to have a little grip. Guys that don't, well, you know, they need maybe a little help. But rosin is legal.
Yeah.
And you'll see guys go to the rosin bag all the time.
I'm curious. I actually want to pay attention to that. See if they're going to it more often now. I have no idea.
I don't know if they go to it more often, but the guys do go to it.
Yeah.
And you'll notice. And you'll even notice the middle infielders come on in and grab the rosin, you know, just because, I mean, not that they're trying to cheat by any means.
Yeah.
They don't want the ball to be deceptive when it's going from third base to first. They want the first baseman to see it. They just want it for grip.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's just, you know, very likely that they're just, their fingers are tight and they want to make sure they make a good throw.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. The other thing, we briefly touched on it earlier in this episode, we've got the MLB All-Star Game coming up.
In
Denver, Colorado, which I think that's awesome. And you also, again, briefly touched on it. So we have, there's a game that's played that has minor league baseball players that actually play and participate during the All-Star event.
All-Star weekend. It's Sunday at Coors Field. It's a dream come true for all those guys to be playing at a major league ballpark. Obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado, who we've seen in this ballpark the last few days, will be there representing Kansas City. Josh Winder represents the Twins. Darius Ghani, who was the home plate umpire for the last couple. Well, he's been an umpire in this series. He's leaving us, too, because he's going to be the plate umpire in that.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So those guys get awarded, too. So I think it's awesome that, you know, that the umpires get involved. And it's awesome. And it's all part of Major League Baseball All-Star Week.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And it's just a brief glimpse. This year it's American League versus National League. Sometimes it's United States versus the world.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know what years they do what, but it is kind of cool. I guess maybe it has to do with prospects, make sure that it's an even game.
Yeah, and make sure they can fill a team and all that kind of stuff.
Make sure you're not sliding one side over the other. So, but it's a lot of fun to see, you know, the up-and-comers, and there's single-A guys, double-A guys, triple-A guys. And it's good that we've already seen a number of guys come through here. Amarillo had a player that's already played. The guy that had the very first hit in this ballpark will be in the Futures game.
That's awesome.
Alec Thomas. Can I kind of just shows you... You know, that what the kind of talent,
I mean,
whether you're a Twins fan or a Wind Surge fan or not, what kind of talent comes through this building on a nightly basis?
Absolutely. And this last series that we're going through is Kansas City's double-A team. That's their double-A affiliate. And it was kind of cool. When I went last night, first of all, it was a really good night as far as fans and capacity and everything like that.
No, and it's been a fun series. Our attendance is the last five games have been great. It's been fun as a Windsurge person, not necessarily a Royals fan, and they're a team that I've never rooted against or rooted for, really.
You didn't really have to.
It's been fun. They cheer for those guys.
Yeah.
But you see the same exact fan cheering for the Windsurge.
Exactly.
And I don't have anything wrong with that.
No.
I think it's fun. If that's your major league team, you root for that those guys.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to be wearing the Royals uniforms maybe this year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. And you know, maybe 2023.
And that was so cool because I like to walk around whenever I'm at Riverfront Stadium. It's just a big old circle, and I just like to go taking walks. And so it's kind of cool. I'm seeing people wearing one or the other, a Windsurge jersey.
Yeah, there's been a lot of royal
and
blue.
A royal hat and all this. But it's kind of cool because it's mixed. And then you see a whole bunch of Twins hats and stuff like that too. So I think it's really cool to see that the city has kind of embraced it, even though it's, hey, we're a Twins affiliate.
Right.
But they are more of fans of the sport and baseball.
And me personally, I didn't know this at the beginning. I knew people might be upset that we're a Royals rivalry. But I think in the end, now that I've seen it and it's starting to materialize, I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be easy 6 months from now, a year from now, for our fans and for me personally to drive up the road to go see Jose Miranda.
Absolutely.
Or Josh Winder or whoever.
Yeah.
Against the Royals.
Yeah.
And it's easier to follow these guys because it's in the same division.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately, as opposed to maybe if we were a Rockies affiliate, which has no, you know, geography-wise, it works out. Colorado is actually, Denver's a little closer than I think Minnesota is. Not by much, but a little bit to here. But there's no rhyme or reason because of geography. I mean, they don't ever play the Royals very rarely, and there's no rivalry there. So I think this actually probably works out.
That's actually a good point. I never even thought of it that way.
I thought about it initially, and I wasn't sure.
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought maybe we would be a Brewers. You know, I was trying to think of, okay, how's the crumbles going to fall? Like, when this was all going on last offseason, and I knew we were not going to be Miami. But I didn't know, and I knew we'd be a Midwest team.
Right.
I just wasn't sure which team. And when it all came out, I was like, all right, that's cool. Twins got a great organization. And you know what? And now that I'm seeing it materialize, I really like it.
No, I do.
And I like this little rivalry you got with Northwest Arkansas and this little fun thing we're going to have with Kansas City and the Royals.
Yeah, I agree. Last thing I wanted to get to is the actual All-Star game. So we've got Major League Baseball All-Star week or weekend or however you want to go with it. What are the players that have really standed out to you over this season already?
Well, I think a lot of them are the big names that you're used to.
I mean,
baseball fans are familiar with them. I think the one name that is just an unbelievable, once in a generation, Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, my God.
What he's doing, I'm glad I never bet. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not a gambler. I would have never thought he could really be. He's a legit all-star at both positions.
Yeah.
I've seen in baseball, College World Series, and you see it at the college level. You see a guy that's a really good this player, and they do both. They're two-way players, and you see how where he's really good as a position player, and he's a decent pitcher.
Yeah.
But he's never going to make it as both.
Right.
Wow. I mean, he leads the league in home runs.
Yeah.
He hits towering home runs.
They're bombs.
And then he's dominant as a pitcher. He's not Jacob DeGrom dominant, but he is a legit all-star pitcher. And I hope they start him.
I do too.
So he can bat.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's been even though they play in a National League Park, they don't have the position, they don't have the pitchers bat anymore.
Right.
And I want him to bat. I want him to get a couple of ABs.
Yeah.
And I hope it works out.
Oh, I hope he hits a bomb.
Yeah.
They are towering home runs.
And I'm really looking forward to Home Run Derby too.
Yes.
They're not going to put the balls in the humidor.
Oh. Okay.
So for the game, they will.
Uh-huh.
But they're leaving the baseballs out. So what I was talking about before with texture and all that stuff. So those balls will fly more. You remember when baseball first came back to the Mile High City,
oh yeah,
home runs were just monstrous.
Yeah,
so for Home Run Derby, they're going to let it fly.
That's so awesome.
Which I'm actually shocked they're going to do that, but it's, I think it's awesome.
Again, more offense. That's just the whole direction that they're going. But that's actually another question that I just now thought of. So whenever you have this guy who's on a tear, you've got Fernando Tatis Jr., you got Otani, and you've got a couple of these other guys that you can bring up in your mind, you go, man, it would be awesome to see them swing it out in the Home Run Derby. Sometimes for some guys, that actually changes something in their swing to where they end up getting cold.
Yeah, it's happened. I mean, you can go back. I'm sure when people watch Home Run Derby, they're going to put a long stat sheet up of players who have performed well at Home Run Derby and have fallen off.
Yeah.
And then there's the injury element. You know, I'm glad the Angels are going to allow Otani to do it. I mean, they're not making the postseason.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They've got Otani, who is what, Bo Jackson-esque, you know, where people that aren't baseball fans know that name. They got Mike Trout, who is the best player.
I think.
And yet they're not going to be in the playoffs.
No, they literally have, I mean, in my opinion, Mike Trout is arguably the best player of all time.
I mean, there's statistics, you know, when you get into deep analytic stats that say he's better than the Mickey Mantles of the world, the Willie Mays of the world. I don't know that, you know, and I don't say that sort of stuff because two things. I'm busy during the baseball season. I watch quite a bit of Major League Baseball. I dive in when we go to October.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't miss many pitches.
Yeah.
You know, and I watch all those games.
But
is he there?
No.
No, he's not. And you know what I mean? And it's like, I have not in my lifetime, I have not seen Mike Trout play all that much. Not as much as I probably should.
Yeah.
For as good as he's advertised and as good as he is.
I subscribe to the apps that let you watch any game at any time and stuff like that, specifically so I can watch his at-bats, his crazy plays that he makes in the outfield. Yeah, I mean, I love watching the guy play, but I'm right there with you. I am absolutely shocked that the Angels are not a playoff contender at least.
I mean, it just kind of shows you it's pitching. You can have, you know, really good players.
Yeah.
But you need more pitching. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cubs, you know, they've got a great lineup with, you know, although statistically they don't put up a lot of numbers, but Chris Bryant's great.
Javi Baez,
Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras. I mean, and they're going to start trading away those guys.
Yep.
Because they need to do the rebuild. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen those guys play a ton because they played October baseball. I think they may even have gone into November one year. Mm-hmm. So you get to see them a lot because they did excel and win a championship. And it's kind of sad that the Angels are just kind of muddling away some, you know, guy like Mike Trout is, you know, at the prime of his career. And I hope they turn the corner.
I do too.
Not that I'm an Angels fan by any means, but I just want the best players to be on the biggest stage.
And that's, I think, something that whenever you talk about the best players of all time, there's always that one statistic that everybody looks at, and that's, well, how many rings did he have? Yeah, exactly. And as of right now, zero.
Right. So. You know, I mean, when I grew up, Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds, neither one of them have ever won one.
I know.
And they're both just, I mean, I remember just being like, wow, I wanted to watch every one of their at-bats. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to see what they did in the field. I wanted to see just about everything about them because they were so much fun.
Yep, I 100% agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is all I have for today, unless you have anything
else. I'm just hoping everybody comes out and enjoys some baseball at the park.
Yep, sorry about the long break. We're going to try to do this, obviously, more often. We'll be able to have a little bit more, less time-sensitive episodes and stuff like that, so it will actually be accurate and stuff like that, because I guess I am taking over this whole ordeal, and I'm okay. I'm happy to do it. So, but guys, come on down to Riverfront Stadium. Check out especially this next series we have with our new rival, which is the Tulsa Drillers. Any chance you get, I think just normal schedule, Tuesday through Sunday, this next week, starting on July the 13th. Come on down. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. And then one of these days I'm going to get you in the booth.
Hey,
so
man, I'll do it.
Make sure you tune in, you know, and if you don't have the app, that MILB at Bat app, I highly recommend it. It is free, you know, download it. You could follow us home or away. You know exactly. You get the in-game box score and you get the stats.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you guys so much. Love you, Wichita. And until next time, Surge up.